Bem-vindos a mais um episódio do Quem Bebe por Gosto. Este episódio foi gravado durante o Biricera 2025 e junta duas vozes muito ativas no mundo da cerveja artesanal. Jorge Tomé, cofundador da Fermentage, e David Santos, um dos organizadores deste festival e cofundador do Beer Expert. Infelizmente, perdemos os primeiros minutos da gravação, pelo que te peço desde já desculpa, mas o essencial da conversa ficou todo registado. O podcast foi gravado em inglês para que pudesse ser mais útil e acessível também ao público internacional que estava a assistir ao vivo durante o festival. Nesta conversa, o Jorge fala sobre concept beers, criatividade e a importância de criar experiências que vão para além da cerveja, desde smoothie sours e cocktail sours até eventos de wrestling no brewpub da Fermentage. É uma conversa descontraída, divertida e inspiradora sobre o futuro da cerveja artesanal e a liberdade de experimentar sem medo de quebrar regras. Fica então com Cervejas Sem Regras, com Jorge Tomé e David Santos, gravado ao vivo no Biricera 2025. Vamos a isso.
A lot of cans or bottles, where I'd say 90% of our product is packaged in kegs. And those things combined, packaging everything in kegs and having our own point of sale, it will create this dynamic where we're super in control of the product and allows us to just twist and bend the rules a little bit. So we started to experiment with adding some crazy stuff. And that comes from the home brewing days as well, where I was exploring a lot of stuff, where I was writing a blog about beer called Brett Hotel. Funny enough, those people that were writing the blog with me, we are now business partners, and we have come together to create Fermentage, and we wanted to extrapolate those beer blogging writing days into actual products that we could share and we could just explore different directions. And then it comes in a bit of an organic way of trying to get a sense and a grasp of what the market wants and how the market is evolving. So I'd say the foundation that worked 10 years ago does not work as well these days, at least for our scope. When you're small, you need to bend rules a little bit. We're not trying to eat a mass marketed product or trying to eat supermarket shelves. We're trying to offer an experience, offer the wow factor in beer. And that's why we've been working in some crazy styles.
So talking about crazy styles, I described just before when you served me this beer that I'm having, I'm drinking like a mango compal with unicorn blood. Can you tell me about this, actually? What's your approach? What was your inspiration to create such a thing? It's like, I think what is very interesting is it really challenges the status quo and the pre-concept of what beer is it. But beer, it can be so many things. So tell me about what I'm having, other things you have in the tap.
Well, as long as you're pleased and you're having, beer is leisure, so you just want to have a good time when you grab a beer. It doesn't really matter if it follows a style guideline or whatever it is. You just want to have fun and have something that tastes good, feels good. So the last 3-4 years, there's been a lot of growth in this segment of called smoothie sours, where you just blend unfermented fruit with a base sour beer. And there's multiple ways to address these styles. In our concept, so we started to play around with the style, trying to make it more in a balanced way. But we started to feel like people want something that's a quick hook, that they taste, they drink it, and they enjoy it. And therefore, we have been doing some 50-50 blends with some fruit purees and sour beers. And that's the one you're having right now. So it's aspect mango flavor as you'll get. About the unicorn blood poop, whatever you want to call that, it comes of a way of presenting beer.
But especially when you're in a...
Well, the bar is also super important, but in the beer festival, you need to have walking marketing. So you need to stand out from the crowd. You need to create ways to make people engage with your brand. And that comes with a very engaging hook, creating a visual appearance, mixing a very bright, vivid purple color with a very orange, pasty color just to make a huge contrast between the both. And that will just stand out. People will be walking around with your glass and you will stand out from the crowd. That was one of the approaches that brought us some luck. Even last year when we first made the first beers in this style, I think we went a bit more extreme this year. And we also got single fruits. So we brought mango here. And we're preparing pineapple and peach and some other dynamics to, engage people in drinking these styles. But also the cocktail sours that we've been presenting the past couple of months. Those are a bit different than the smoothie sour style. So that's something that we crafted really from scratch. We got kind of a Radler base where we got some Pilsner, mixed up some lemon juice concentrate, lime juice concentrate, mixed up with some sugar, and follow the same guidelines of classic cocktails. And I think beer is a great asset to dilute a bit of that so you can get more volume, less alcohol, but the same pack of flavor. And for such festivals like this one, you're in an amazing location, you're just walking around enjoying the sunset, and you don't want to drink a mojito at 16% strength because that will just hammer you down in two drinks. But if you have a 5% one, you'll just be just way more relaxed to go there. So we've been having fun developing this product and just trying to find ways to make them work.
Yeah, and it's quite unique. You know, like you look at your billboards or your where you are presenting your beers in the festival, and you have quite a lot of cocktail inspired beers. Almost like half of them, they challenge what classic style will be. You also have a Pilsner, of course, which is excellent, excellently executed. It doesn't mean that because you are doing one or the other that will change your approach to beer, because I believe, and from what I taste, your goal is to give flavor, to get people pleasure to drink these beers, which I find very, very interesting. You also have like, you know, like I know a bit your story, but I want to share a bit with people because I think it's very interesting to also show that it's not just out of the sudden that you are doing this, you know, like. You wrote a book, The Shape of Brewing. You are probably one of the only authors from the Portuguese industry. Maybe there's two or three more, but you are possibly the only one that's wrote in English. So I guess to have a broader audience and to inspire more people. But all of this comes because you are, since the very early beginnings, someone who experiments a lot, who read a lot, who gets very educated. You know, I know your obsession for reading a lot of books, not because you want to copy, but because you want to be fed with information that can allow you to do this kind of products, which they, of course, people might think this is not beer, but it is beer because beer is fun. You know, I believe beer is fun. And the main goal of having a beer is to have fun. It's the most social of the drinks, I believe, is where when we have fun with friends, when we are having good times, we all crack one open, you know. Of course, we are in Portugal. Wine plays a big role as well. But, you know, on the long run, if you are doing a marathon, it's beer that you drink. So tell me about all of your, of these historical, not historical, because we are young still, I believe, but all of this background that allow you to arrive here with such a cool concepts that are really well executed. All of your inspiration for the book as well. I think it's interesting that you also promote your book, and I give you this stage to promote your book.
Now, the thing about books was mostly you need to know where you come from to know where you're going. And I really wanted to know more about classic styles and learn more about, you know, just knowledge in general. So I'm a proud owner of a pretty hefty collection of books. We're talking about like 150 books just on beer, plus some more in gastronomy and some other, fields of study about drinks and beverages and also gastronomy in general. But just on beer alone, it's 150. And it gets pretty massive because you have books dedicated to single beer styles, which allows to learn a lot about a certain beer style. And it's great to know where you come from, not only from the book standpoint, but also traveling a lot these past few years. And, you know, booking a trip down to Cologne to be able to drink Kolsch from the source. And not to say that I've made one Kolsch at home because I followed whatever online recipe or book recipe. But I've been there. I tasted how the beer tastes there. You know, going to Bamberg and have some smoked beers. Going to the UK, have some real ales. And that's part of education. And the book, The Shape of Brewing, was written in a moment of transition when I was moving from Netherlands back to Portugal to open Fermentage. So not from the beginning, but from a certain moment of writing the book, I knew that I was added back to Portugal. And the book worked as a rite of passage, just to compile not all the knowledge, but some of the knowledge that I'd been working on, some of the conventions that were important to me, and trying to put on writing. Because I believe writing is very important to organize your thought process. And if you dump your brain and do a lot of brain dumping into writing, you'll have a clearer idea of how you think and how you construct your ideas. And the book served that purpose as well. So I just didn't know where to start writing a book. So I just started. Next I know I had like 100 pages done. And I was like, okay, now I'm too committed to make this work. Fortunately enough, it worked. But it served to, you know, okay, let's organize what is beer to me. How do I see beer? And I totally agree when you say beer is about having fun. And creating is fun to me. So those things combined, having beer as the canvas to work on whatever concept we want, and now we're talking about concept beers, that's the cool thing. So there's no boundaries about beer, and that's what allows you to get these smoothie sours or cocktail sours. At the same time, I'm making a by-the-book Pilsner that follows all the style guidelines and delivers what the style is supposed to deliver. And writing the book, The Shape of Brewing, is exactly that. How brewing can be shaped by the brewer, and you need to learn your place when you are allowed to shape things and when you're not allowed to shape things, and trying to get a grasp onto that. So that's what I work a lot on the book. It's about just laying down some conventions and trying to help other brewers. The book is mostly targeting people that have some knowledge about brewing, be you a known brewer or a professional brewer, doesn't really matter. But you have the basic foundations. There's a lot better publications than mine that would talk about how to make beer in different settings. Mine is just, okay, if you have this technological approach, okay, what are our options? How can we make this work? How can we bend the rules in our favor? And that's what I try to portray in the beers that we make at Fermentage.
Yeah, I find it very interesting. You know, like, I mean, also we have a brewing background, and I read a lot, not as much as you for sure. But what I find very interesting in your book, and I pictured myself already going through a few pages, what I find very interesting, and if I compare to other publications, it's you, at some point in your book is almost like a dictionary of how to use different ingredients, which is very cool. You know, like I remember myself whenever I had like a challenge or idea, or I had to be creative to create something, some beer that okay, my crowd wants a different beer. I was doing was like going in online forums, try to see what was more credible. And what I find very interesting is like, is almost you compile a big range of ingredients that for the last years brewers have been putting in beer, and you almost give guidelines of how you should use it. And you know, like it's almost like a pocketbook of, hey, I'm gonna use, I know, cocoa nibs, and like, oh, how should I use cocoa nibs? It's not so easy to put just cocoa nibs, you know, like, so I find very interesting in your book. And I think it's almost like not an inspiration, but it can help a lot of people if they know what they are looking for. So it's almost like, it's like you say, it's like a compilation of so many different ideas that they are put in a very useful way to whoever is brewing and to whoever wants to be creative.
Yeah, I mean, the weird ingredients has been a passion of mine for quite some time. So I try to look into gastronomy in general, because that will be always related and related to special ingredients, but in a way to, you know, travel the world per se. So you'll learn a lot about a place on how the things they're using, how they use them, how do they pair those flavors with. And then you're just trying to get inspiration from other places. And that's a way of traveling. And I think there's a lot to be said about gastronomy and a sense of place. And for years, I travel the world and I order far too many stuff. Like I have some candy cap mushrooms, which basically taste like maple syrup. It's a mushroom that tastes like maple syrup. It's a bit of one of a kind ingredient that you can use in the beer. Super interesting, but it portrays a very specific region in the world. But I always like to find new stuff. Perhaps I was delving a little bit too much in that direction for some time. And now I'm taking a step back, going back to the basics and trying to rethink beer, trying to have a broader spectrum. But I think as Fermentage, we have clients for all styles of beer, from a classic style Pilsner, from the crazy creations of smoothie sours or cocktail sours, or the more obscure ingredients and or styles that people go and seek those beers. So you need to find a balance. Marketing in Portugal is very small. So I like to think that I need to spread it out thin and be at least decent in all the things that I do and do a lot of things other than just focusing in one single style and try to adapt how we present ourselves depending on the market. So here in the festival, we focus a lot on sour beers with a lot of fruits, some more classic styles to make the contrast on those. At the bar, we have 12 taps where we can develop a little bit more the styles and try not to create redundancies on the taps. So if we go to a Fermentage bar in Lisbon, you'll find that each tap has a different style. So we show ourselves that we are very mutable and that we can create different styles and present different things. If you want to go and geek out about ingredients, sure, just go there, ask for George. I'll be there in the back doing something and I will just geek out about stuff. I will likely open a bottle of random something that I want to share. And if you just want to have a pint of Pilsner, you can also find that there. So I think beer's about having fun. We just have to give them fun. And that's the, yeah, the end of the day, we just need to have fun during this.
Yeah, but we were just discussing a bit before. It's like, you know, like you opened Fermentage 2 years ago. I guess in your head was a bit longer ago because there was like always like a preparation and finding the right opportunity. But, you know, like I was somehow being a critic about the breweries that opened in the last, what, 5-10 years, that weren't breweries, they would come to the market, of course, with a few exceptions. They would come with what others already do. You know, like, why should I start my business and focusing on a Weiss beer? Because I can go to Aldi and buy a Oettinger that is perfectly as good and is way cheaper. Why should I, how can I stand out by brewing what everyone else is brewing? So why I should just stay strict to the guidelines and, you know, let's do a little stout, a little blonde, lager, you know, like, and start a business like this. Of course, if you're talking about 10, 12 years ago, that would make sense. But somehow the Portuguese market already with 100 something breweries or projects is already in the need of creativity, in the need of bringing experience from the outside, also to show to consumers that beer can be so much more fun. So I have a challenge for you. I didn't tell you about. So imagine I was like an old guy from Bavaria that is very rigid about Reinheitsgebot. What will be the words that I would use to describe your cocktail sours and calling it beer?
I'll probably be hanged in Germany somewhere, yeah. But again, I think rules are just rules. And in the end, if you don't want to call it beer, sure, call it something else. If you enjoy it, sure, just have fun. And that's the good thing about having beers, especially in a very blossoming market as in Portugal. You find a lot of people that don't know styles and they don't know what to expect on styles. So having the first impression is key. And maybe even a guy from Bavaria and a very Reinskabot friendly guy would probably try one of these styles and would probably like it, you know. It would probably hate it in a conceptual way of it existing, but as a product, if you didn't think about beer, so you can just do triangle testing and just say, hey, this is a drink, you know, like call it whatever.
And I fully agree. And I mean, you know, that's I'm not the biggest fan of, for example, smoothie sours in the way I drink. I find it funny, but it's not something I would drink on a regular basis because, you know, I prefer like a dry IPA, something low ABV, something like that. It's more dry, a bit more on the hoppy side, for example. But I also think beer is a moment, is a place, it's a conversation. And, you know, like I'm now enjoying your mango compal with unicorn blood. And I'm having a lot of fun. I'm drinking from a straw in front of the sea. So this makes total sense. And I'm having a lot of fun and I'm enjoying it. So, you know, like I also think it's a very good way to imagine you come with a group. There is four, it's five people, four of them. They love beer. One says, I don't like beer. I'm just, you know, like, if I'm drinking a Sagres, a Superbock, it is tasteless, so I don't want that. So I also think your approach and the approach of other brewers on doing this kind of styles that challenge this preconception of industrial lager, for example, that people talk about this as like, this is beer, like with capital B, you know, like this is beer. I think it really can act as a way, you know, a way to captivate people to our community, to our sector, and to show them that beer can be so much more fun.
Yeah, so you were mentioning that Fermentage started way before it actually opened, and it kind of did in my mind. So when I first applied for the first beer-related job at the interview, there was a mention of me wanting to open my own space, my own place, but it was not the right time. So it was an immature market over 10 years ago. So it was not the right time. But I had that in mind of doing that. But I'd never really thought of, well, I did for the beginning, what am I going to do? But I was like, the market is so mutable and changeable and it will change in a few years. So I don't want to lock in an idea. And a lot of other concepts, not only on beer, but a lot of other companies, they lock down onto something that they really believe in and they try to sell that as much as possible. And they are very rigid in the way they approach business. So as the years went by, I realized that I wouldn't set on a very strict approach, that I need to be flexible and not as much wanting to show people what I like and what I believe in. I need to be flexible and make sure you have a good time, whatever Frentage gets to you. It'd be at the bar, could be at our bar, could be at the beer festival. But I want to make sure that you go to my bar and you have a good time. It doesn't really matter if you're drinking a glass of wine or having a non-alcoholic beer or just having a smoothie sour or an IPA. I just need to provide good products, whatever is that your experience will be. If it's beer, I'm in control of that. If the other products, I will need to find good suppliers and have good products. But mostly for beer, I need to make sure you have a good experience. So I try not to think as much what I want people to have, but what people want me to give to them. And that's the good thing. So I try to think about the future and not as much what works in the past and what I want to make to people. So I think the future is the way to go. And that will allow us to get ever so creative beers.
Yeah, and that's why you organize wrestling fights in your brew pub. So tell me about that.
Yeah, that was
very funny, just to be clear.
So when I was living abroad, I used to travel a lot as well. Do you know that? So you spend a lot of time in planes and flights. And I would just get my phone and just brain dump a lot of stuff. As I said, I use writing to brain dump a lot of things. And wrestling was one of the ideas for the opening event. I don't think I take too much pride saying this, but the initial idea was midget wrestling. Yeah, it's controversial to say the least, but I couldn't really find that in Portugal. But it happens that there was this other company organizing live wrestling in Lisbon. And okay, I reached out to them, we talked, I went to see a show, wanted to know more what it is all about. Because for these events, the demographics are very important. Who's going to watch the show? Is it a younger crowd? Is it really good targeting beer to like preteens or whatever? Or we're talking about young adults that will just have a few pints and enjoy some live action, whatever you want to call it. And it happens that was just people chugging minis and having beef bananas and just having a lot of fun. People like 25 to 40 years old. And I'm like, this is the perfect demographics for such an event. So we did the first event 2 years ago, almost. It was firstly advertised here at this festival, funny enough, 2 years ago. And it drew a big crowd for the first day. But we felt like it should be something that you do sparsely. You don't do a lot of it or organize it too often. So we took like 6 months to organize the second event. And then we felt like, okay, this went great. So we did the third, we did the fourth. And now we're adding towards our 10th event, and it just works every time that we organize it. So beer is more than just beer, because we can be here talking about styles and writing down tasting notes and whatever and collecting untapped check-ins, whatever you want to call that. But in the end, it's a social beer and it's a social product. You just want to have a drink with your friends, and wrestling just poses a perfect moment for that. If you go and see a live wrestling match seated like the tradition is set to be, it won't be as fun as standing with your friends and just chugging a few pints and yelling at naked guys.
Yeah, I fully agree. Not with the yelling at the naked guys, of course, but with the original idea of it. Because I, on a personal note, I also believe we should create moments for people to try our beers. You know, like I think the future of the sector is also very linked to the kind of experience we offer to the people. Otherwise, if we keep brewing the same beer over and over again, if we keep having just a little bar where I put my heavy metal playlists, people at some point, they'll be fed up, and like just the little niche that goes there every day will keep it and you will not grow, and you maybe you will cap or something like that. I think it's a very interesting approach that maybe we can see in a few examples, let's say in UK or, for example, in California, that breweries, they create moments for people to go there to have fun. You know, if it's a quiz, if it's a wrestling, if it's so many a bingo, for example, like so many other examples that I could find here that you are putting in place and other people are putting in place, that it is really kind of creating a moment for people to enjoy the beer. It's like, you know, like I could, it would be very easy for us, BDSERA, to organize a festival just with breweries without us inviting food trucks, without us to invite you to have here on the talk, or without putting a DJ, you know, like I come from a reality. One of the first beer festivals I did when I was working in Belgium was a festival called Zitos, which I don't think exists anymore. And I arrived there and I was like, that's such a boring festival. You know, like it's just grumpy people that they don't speak with each other and they just put their noses on the glass. And this is so boring. And I'm just here. There's no even interaction. They are just doing their untapped checks, check-ins, and it's fine for that, but it's boring. I think it's very magical. You know, like that we as a small community, we can create such a fun moments, you know, like with the wrestling, with this beautiful view, and create, show to people that beer, you know, like it's, again, I'm going to repeat myself, but it's fun and it can be fun. It doesn't need to be something that we're going to just drink by our own and put our tasting notes and the check-ins, you know, like, so in on my behalf, I'm like, thank you, you know, thank you for doing what I believe beer should be. No, not that I'm going to drink all of your smoothie sours, but thank you for this, you know, like, I think you are doing great for...
No, it's a pleasure, and I'll share whatever we're doing, be that smoothie sours or any other classic styles. You're always welcome to share those things. And I think there's a lot more to come. So 10 years ago, we would feel very weird to organize live wrestling at the bar or doing smoothie sours or even New England IPA. I recall the first sour and the concept of Berliner Weisse came in 2017, roughly, to be more popular, at least in Europe. And we've come such a long way, and I just think of what there's to come and what people will just invent new. So I just do my part trying to get new styles out. I'm not sure if they will stick around, if this will be a trend or not, but I don't really care as long as I'm having fun crafting those moments. And maybe next year we'll figure something out and we'll have something different to be talking about here.
I think we should. So, George, if you have, if you deliver the last notes, you are welcome. If not, we can wrap it up.
Well, I invite everyone to go there and try the mango sour with some unicorn blood, poop, whatever you want to call it. That's my list, last plug-in for the day. Thank you.
Thank you, George.
Espero que tenhas gostado deste episódio. Se foi o caso, deixa uma avaliação de 5 estrelas na tua plataforma de podcasts e segue o podcast para não perderes os próximos episódios, incluindo outras conversas gravadas também durante o Biriceira, que irão sair nas próximas semanas. E se quiseres ficar a saber mais sobre este universo da cerveja, não te esqueças de subscrever o curso Beer Expert, precisamente lecionado por mim e pelo David Santos, que aqui conduziu esta conversa. Para isso podes visitar beerexpert.pt e juntar-te ao grupo. E se não for antes, vemo-nos na próxima cerveja.